Last time we saw two conditions for local convergence of functional iteration methods of the type used to solve a nonlinear system. The problem is again and the conditions were in a few words. Sufficient conditions regarding the crucial points where if we call with H, we call it with capital H, the Jacobian matrix of G, of the function G defining the nonlinear system, the first theorem required this bound on the infinity norm of the Jacobian matrix of G. A second different condition for local convergence required that the spectral radius of the same matrix in the solution alpha was the solution that was to be approximated again less than 1. And we ended the lesson showing an example where we had convergence, but the first assumption was not fulfilled. The last example, I recall it quickly, was a nonlinear system. Was this nonlinear system? Let us write it in the form x equal to g of x. The second function was this. It was easy to find the exact solution, one of the two solutions. We considered this solution. We remarked that the Jacobian matrix of G, its infinity norm, was everywhere for any x greater than or equal to 1. So this condition was not satisfied, but The spectral radius of H in alpha, if you compute, I write here, the matrix, the Jacobian matrix H in alpha, its four entries are these ones. So if you compute both the eigenvalues, we'll find that they are complex conjugate pair of numbers, and the spectral radius is the is equal to their common modulus, and its values is this 1 over the 4th root of 2. But clearly is less than 1. So this implies convergence. The second condition, we remark also that the second sufficient condition for convergence generalize the possible use of norms for the first condition, since if we find that the spectral radius of the Jacobian matrix in alpha is less than 1, then certainly there exists some norm less than 1, and conversely, if a generic norm, matrix norm of H of X is strictly less than 1 in a neighborhood of alpha, this implies that the spectral radius of this matrix in alpha is less than 1, 2, so we can converge. So the second condition is a powerful condition for local convergence. Well, now we consider a particular special functional iteration method that is the most frequently used method for this problem. It is the famous Newton's method. Newton's or Newton-Raphson's method. We will call it briefly, shortly, Newton's method, but many authors call it Newton-Raphson method, mainly in order to distinguish this case from the Scala case, when the method is shortly called simply Newton's method. Let us premise a few words about the techniques that can be used to transform the linear system usually is given in the form fx equal to 0, as I told you last week. In order to obtain an equivalent system of this form, we can proceed in this way. We change the sign or the first member or the first on the left hand side of the function functions f sub I which define f, then we add the vector x on both sides. Sorry, before it's possible to multiply by an invertible matrix, say A of x, a matrix function of x squared matrix, whose entries are all functions of the vector x. So here we obtain A of x multiplied by f of x equal to 0. Then we add the vector x to both the sides of the equation. In this way, we obtain an equivalent non-linear system of equations, which is equivalent in the sense that this has the same solutions of the original system. The essential assumption is that the matrix A is invertible. The iteration scheme, consequently, will be the new iterate vector takes the old iterate vector minus the product of the matrix computed in x super I multiplied by this vector. Written in this form, each iteration costs the cost of a product of a matrix by a vector. Special case. If we choose as matrix A A of x the inverse under the assumption that the matrix J is invertible of the Jacobian matrix of F. We decide to choose the matrix as this inverse. For this choice, the resulting iterative method is exactly the Newton-Raphson's method for nonlinear system. That is the same thing to say that the equivalent system, originally system, equivalent system were G of x is defined in this way. You see immediately you will find again for the scalar case the well-known Newton's method where you have the inverse of the Jacobian matrix is replaced in the scalar case is replaced by the inverse of the value of the derivative in the previous
value of x.
So this is the definition of Newton-Raphson's method. The most important problem that we have to solve now is what about the convergence? The convergence can be studied from two points of view. Local convergence and global convergence, where global means global convergence, if we will be able to prove global convergence, this will mean that we will be able to find a domain, a neighborhood, a plurirectangle of R to the n, where in this domain we have convergence for any choice of initial point. The global convergence is more difficult to study. We will give a particular result for the global convergence, but as we will see, this is a result very hard to check. For local convergence, it is all very simple and nice, because we can prove this fact. For this method, under reasonable assumptions, the Jacobian matrix of G, matrix that till now has been called H, is the zero matrix. So if we recall the second local convergence result that we have seen last time, we will have that the spectral radius of this matrix is exactly zero, which is less than one. So we will have local convergence. In addition, there is a form of fast convergence, quadratic convergence, this property is connected with the fact that it's possible to prove that the reduction of the error at any iteration is ruled by this inequality. So first, local convergence, two, the error, so the error is the difference in norm, in some norm. Here we can consider any vector norm of the difference between the generic iterate vector and the solution. At step I plus 1 is less than or equal to constant, a positive constant, multiplied by the error at the previous step squared, as you probably know, this is a form of quadratic convergence. This is the most interesting aspect of the convergence for this method. The reason why this method is the method most frequently used for these problems is that under general conditions, it behaves in this way. It has a quadratic convergence. We prove, you will find these two properties in the statement of a theorem. The assumption is simply this, that the function, the vector of functions f, is of class c to the 2 of domain omega, and that the Jacobian matrix of f is not singular in the same domain, in a domain omega, an open set containing the solution. Let us check the local convergence, which is implied, as I told you before, by this property. The Jacobian matrix is the zero matrix. Why? The matrix H has as entries let us call R and T the two indices, the partial derivative of G sub R with respect to X sub T in the point computing the point X. So let us write G sub R starting from the definition of G that was X minus the inverse of J by, let us call this inverse with capital K. We define the matrix K as the inverse of J computed in the point, the generic point X. This is a vector of functions. G sub R will be the same entry of X minus, here we have a product of the square matrix that we have called K, by the vector f. So we have a product row by column, which is the index of the row, which it is the index r. So we have the entry k sub r of capital K, the column index, let us call S, from 1 up to n, computed in x, by f index S, computed in x. This is the expansion of G sub r. But here, we see the derivative of this expression with respect to x sub t. So, we derive all the terms we have here. The derivative of x sub r, x sub t, and here sum minus sum s, the product, the derivative of this product is made by the derivative of k s. T by plus K said indices R and S in X by the derivative of FS XT in X. And we close the square bracket. This term has value 1 or 0. And so you can replace it by vector Necker delta with indices r and t. The relative of this entry of x with respect to this other entry of x is or 0 or 1. So we have 1 if r and t are equal 0, yes, the two indices have different values. But we are interested in the value, in knowing and showing that the value of this matrix, which has these entries, is zero for any choice of R and T. Is this true? Yes, because let us substitute alpha for x. Same generic derivative, but now computed in R. Here we find again this term has only two constant values of 0 or 1. It does not depend on x. Here you have, we can directly say this in the previous expansion. If you put here alpha, f sub s in alpha is 0. Because alpha is the solution of the original system. alpha solution, f in alpha is 0. So this term in alpha disappears. Only this term is left, so we can write on it. We have the values of all the entries of this matrix in alpha. We don't care. Well, this is because we realize that this product let us look carefully at this term. And we see here the product of the row R of the matrix K multiplied by the column S of the matrix J. Here we have all the derivatives with respect to its sum T of Fs. These are the partial derivatives which lie on the column of index S of the matrix J Jacobian of F. But we know that K is the inverse of the Jacobian. So here we are in front of the product of the row R of the inverse by the column S of the matrix itself. Since these two matrices are one, the inverse of the other, the product makes the identity matrix. So this sum can be written simply as, again, delta sub RT, the Kronecker delta, which means, as before, 1 if the two indices are equal, or 0 otherwise. Kronecker delta minus Kronecker delta for any choice of R and T is 0. In this way, we have proven that H in alpha, recall that these are the entries, the function which form the matrix H, computed in alpha, the values for any of them, for all of them, is 0. So local convergence. The second property, the quadratic convergence, requires the study, an analysis of the errors at the step I and the succession, the next step I plus 1. So we start quadratic convergence. We start from the error without norm for now. Substitute the new iterate with its definition, the iterative scheme, which says that this is given by previous iterate, the inverse by F, months. This product, the product of the inverse by F, can be written another way. If we observe, if we notice, remark that with a Taylor expansion, what? F in alpha, which is zero, can be written in the neighborhood of x supra I, x. Constant term plus F is a vector function from R to the N to R to the N. So in the scalar case, here we will have the first derivative in the vector case, have the Jacobian matrix of F computed in X sub I, okay, by the difference alpha minus X sub I plus something, the so-called Taylor's remainder, il resto della formula di Taylor. Here it is colored with the letter V. V is a vector. V is the vector of remainders. Let us use this equation to replace this product. In this expression, this product does not appear, but we can make it to appear by multiplying on both sides by the inverse of J. The inverse of J, so we obtain the inverse of the Jacobian on the left by zero, so the zero vector is left. On the other end, we have J minus 1 inverse by F, which is the quantity that we wanted in order to substitute it in the previous formula, plus alpha minus X supper I, plus again the inverse of J computed. J and its inverse are functions of X by V. Substitute in this here. And we obtain, I write it again, X minus, here you obtain also inverse is equal to minus alpha plus x minus reverse gain y v. Substitute this
in the previous form and we obtain alpha minus the previous iterate, and there is minus or plus
the inverse by the remainder.
The remainder is vector
minus.
Is it all right?
Well, we see that all terms vanish, but only one. So the final result of this manipulation is that the error is equal to the inverse of this matrix, which has already been colored with the letter key, computed in the previous iterate, by me. We are able to write the error in this way. Well, let us use known property of the Taylor's remainder in the multivariate case. So for V, which is a vector, we use the formula, the well-known main formula for the generic entry R, which is 1 over 2 by this scala. We have alpha minus x super I, which were the points considered in the Taylor's expansion, transpose by, here we have the matrix of the second partial derivatives of second partial derivatives of F sub R x. Therefore, the matrix, the Hessian matrix, Hessian matrix, which is a symmetric matrix, let us call S, S with the index R, the formula says that here is a value of this Hessian matrix in a suitable point C sub R, again by the difference vector alpha minus the iterate. We have to reason out this formula go to find a bound for the norm of this quantity. Our goal is to find something about the norm of this error. V sub R here, we have some technical, simple but technical manipulations. consider the modulus of V sub r,
which by Schwarz inequality,
the Schwarz inequality says that if you have two vectors x and epsilon, you consider the scalar product, the modulus of the scalar product is less than or equal to the product of the two norms of the two vectors. Here we have two products of vectors. And we can consider the first vector scalar product by the second vector, which is given by the product of the matrix by the difference vector. So we apply the Schwarz inequality to this scalar product. So we find that this modulus is less than or equal to 1/2 of the two norm of the first vector by the two norm of the second vector, which is written as the product of the matrix, the Hessian matrix, by again the difference vector. Then, now we can proceed in this way. The two norm of a generic vector is less than or equal to the square root of n by the infinity norm of the same vector. This is one of the well-known inequalities linking the most used vector norms. So we can write less than or equal to 1/2 square root of n, the norm 2, the norm, the infinity norm of difference. Here we can apply the same inequality and find again the square root of n, the infinity norm of the product of the matrix compatibility between matrix and vector norms, matrix induced norms. So this last vector norm can be substituted again by the infinity norm of the matrix multiplied by the infinity norm of the vector difference. So now we have everywhere the infinity norm. Okay, we can put together the two square roots, so we have simply n. We put together the two infinity norms. Now, let us pass to the infinity norm of V. The infinity norm is the maximum over all the moduli. So also the infinity norm is less than or equal to the same quantity, which can be bound by, you can write, n over 2. We can revert the order of two vectors due to the properties of norms. Here we have R, which goes from 1 up to n. So we can, and we have a suitable point x sub r, which is different from for every r. But here we can write the maximum of r of the maximum of x of all. The infinity norms of all the Hessian matrices S sub R. The conclusion. Because this point, we can write that the infinity norm of this difference is bounded by the infinity norm of K computed from the previous iterate by the infinity norm of V. But the infinity norm of V is less than all this. I write it again. The two maxima the square of the infinity norm of the previous error. Well, let us call the product of this quantity with beta. All these quantities are well defined due to the continuity of f and its derivatives, and due to the continuity of the inversion. Here is an inverse matrix, but the inversion is can be seen. The entries of an inverse can be seen as continuous functions of the entry. Of the entries of the matrix which is inverted. So we have found the proven the quadratic convergence. Here is the power 2. Newton-Raphson's method locally converges fastly in this way. Let us take a short break. Any questions about this? In the scalar case, an analogous fact happens. The proof is simpler, only because in the scalar case, Taylor's expansion is simpler, and so on. In the second part of the lesson, we will consider global sufficient condition for the global convergence, and we will consider also a simple example of global convergence. Okay. Let us stop.